Hi, I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
And I'm Dr. Jose Lugo Santiago. Welcome to Leaders and Futures. Let us have a new kind of conversation, one about leading as futures emerge, are yet to happen, or plainly need to be reimagined.
Someone has said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. Although it's impossible to predict the future, one thing is certain, you must lead in it. It's time to think differently about leading.
This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Let's get started with today's discussion on leaders and futures.
Hey, Lugo, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Chief. It's I'm doing great because you and I are here, and we get our listeners also to hear us philosophize, but also hopefully we get their comments on some of these topics that we talk about.
Yeah, and today's one of those days we have no idea what we're going to talk about.
but you see, we were talking about innovation, right? At one point, and
yes,
this is one of those topics that we wanted to talk about because everybody wants to be innovative.
Yep. Well, and let me ask you this, because you know, words have power most of the time. Is innovation the same as creativity?
Oh my goodness, what a question. Innovation is not the same as creativity.
It's not, okay.
It's not, yeah.
Why? Because there are some people out there that have no idea what the difference is.
Like us? No,
like
just
us.
Kidding.
Yeah.
So, but a very simple, right? When you're talking about creativity, is the innate process of us of being able to take what we have and use it in a new way, right? Mm-hmm. That comes from us creating, right? That's what creativity is. We are creating. But innovation talks to us about the process of making new. I'm not saying that they are separated. They're actually complementary, right? Because you cannot make innovation unless you are creative. For example, I mean, look at the word innovation, right? It means making new from inside.
Right.
So this is something that is organic from inside and it's new.
Yeah.
And so that means that the team members and members of the team have to be able to be creative. But that is very difficult to be creative.
In essence, innovation is the application of creativity. More or less.
Innovation, the process of creativity, you said?
No, or innovation the application. Is the application, when you actually do it. Creating most of the time, the way I see it is when you're creating stuff, you're not necessarily making it. Eventually you are, if you stretch it out, making something. But creating often starts in the mind. And, you know, we're both students of Stephen Covey. And in fact, it wasn't him. It was someone way before him that said everything is created twice. First in the mind and then in the application, the behavior, the thing that you create. So that's where it starts. But it doesn't help to have that without actually doing something, being innovative, doing it differently. What was his name? Gosh, I'm having a senior moment. The guy that created the iPhone. Steve Jobs, you know, he defined creativity as taking two things that are not the same and combining them, or two or more things that are not the same and combining them to make something different, which is what you just said, pretty much, which is the innovative part, right? Does that make a little bit of sense? That's how I'm seeing it.
Yeah, the innovation is about creating something new. The creativity is being able to apply what you know in new ways, right? So that's, but they are complementary.
Correct.
And so in your example about Steve Jobs, it's interesting what Apple did, right? Because when you look at back 1983, they put out this video. You can look it up and you can Google it, where they have a professor looking through it. And they were using strategic foresight. That's what they were using. So they had this professor talking to something that looked like an iPad. And he was going back and forth with this, we call it today AI. But this is, you can Google professor, Apple, iPad. And so they had this vision about how something was going to look like. So that's creativity, right? They thought about something, a way of doing something new, or a new ways of doing something, because he was talking about research. And so now he was going to figure out how was he going to make that vision, this thing that he thought I knew, into something that we could see today. And then they began to, as soon as they traced the path, exactly, that's what we do with futures, right? We understand what could be the things that are going to emerge. So they emerged. So they talked about, they thought about technologies. Like, for example, back then, voice recognition was not part of the vocabulary. But as soon as these things began to appear, they started buying these things. And now they put all of these things together, and voila, we have an iPad today, right? We have an iPhone. And so the innovation piece is the process of being able to merge all of those things as we go through. But a lot of organizations do not have an innovation process. A lot of organizations do not innovate. For example, going from the, I don't know, what was the first iPhone 1 to iPhone, let's say iPhone 3, right? Going from iPhone 3 to iPhone 10 is not innovation. It's the same product. You're not making anything new. You're making it better. So if you're in, so that's called process improvement or product improvement, right? When we think about innovation, we normally think about four things. We think about product innovation, process innovation, position innovation, when we're thinking about improving or finding new ways to differentiate ourselves from others. That's position, right? And then paradigm. Those are the kind of known in the world of innovation as four things. So the four Ps, I think they call them the four Ps. Innovation involving these things. So if we do those things, we can innovate in any of those four areas. But when you are making something new, that's innovation. When you are improving something, you may be using creativity, right, to find a new way, expand some capability, but you're not innovating.
So that 15 minutes that you just shared was what I said in about 3 seconds. But that's okay. I'm an old guy. I know how to
Really?
compress it. How could condense it into 4 words?
I think I was following instructions, right? You said, can you talk to me about this? Are they the same? So
No.
this is the case of the economist, right? Some people say, I wish I could know an economist with one hand, right? Because you ask an economist, what is this? They say, well, on one hand, blah, blah, blah. And on the other hand, interest rates, right? So that's, you want to have an economist with one hand, and here you are asking me a question and asking me to have to do it in one with one hand.
Well, and the reason we got into this discussion of innovation was that the general talked about that. General Spacey, when we had him on that night, that evening, the live show, which we're going to have another one coming up pretty soon. But anyway, when he was on, we talked about that, and he said that that's one of the things that that leaders in particular have to be aware of, if not improving or focusing on innovation, which is again different than creativity. But that's just a buzzword, Lugo. In many cases, it's just we talk about it, and hopefully our listeners have a better idea of what it is. But we talk about the chief of innovation and all that. I see it on LinkedIn and all that, and I wonder if they know what it means, and I wonder if they're actually doing it, or it's a buzzword. It sounds good, and I'm the chief of innovation. Okay, we'll hire you, or we'll give you more money, or whatever it is. I don't know. The what is it? The value is in what have you done?
Well, innovation is okay. A lot of organizations, they say they want to be innovative, but they do not want to. Innovation is risky. Innovation can be painful. And but the truth is, I had a professor that used to say, and I have it right here in my on my screen on the top, I put a little sticky that says innovate, innovate, or evaporate. That's how what he used to tell us, a
Yeah,
professor
right.
at Regent University. And he have written a ton of work peer reviewed on innovation. He was seen as one of the authorities in this area. So we were just so honored to have him be one of our professors, right? And when we were exploring innovation. But one of the
What
things
is his
that
name? Let's give him some props. What's his name?
his name is Gary Oster.
Oster, Gary
And
Oster.
yeah, Dr. Gary Oster, he passed away a few years back. But we were just honored to have him. And he talked to us about what happens in organizations, the process of innovation. And I have seen this. I mean, think back. Anytime you have a change agent in your organization, what happens with the change agent? People resent that person because the person is trying to push the organization forward. Because that person understands that, hey, the person may be able to see far ahead and see that change is coming. It's better if we change now than we get to the point where we are forced to change. And so people that don't want to change, right? The traditionalists in an organization don't want to change. I'm okay, and that's okay because we need traditionalists, we need entrepreneurs, and we need people who can see the future in the organization, the dreamers. We need all three of these people. But
Yeah.
the problem is these organizations, these agents of change, anytime they bring, they say we're going to move forward, the organization has to change its processes. People have to change how they think about the assumptions that we had about the present, God, and the future has to change for
Yeah.
us to be able to do this together. And then we have to come into an agreement as to how we're going to behave forward. And that's not easy work.
Yeah. Well, and part of it, as I said a while ago, words have meaning. And I will always tell you this, that change equals different. Progress equals better. And we talk about culture. If you have a culture of change, and I've been there, man, that sucked. Because no kidding, when I was at the Air Force Academy, 1 year that I was there, 1 year, I had seven different supervisors.
Nice.
One of them, I think, was my supervisor for a week or something like that. And that was because we were changing. We were not progressing because I think we would have been smarter than that. But that was change, and that sucked. And that I'm not the only one. All of us had went through that same stuff. So I
Keeping you
think,
on your toes, I see.
sure. Well, it wasn't my toes. But anyway, part of it, I always has to do because that's a mindset. You know that, Lugo. A change mindset, like a new boss comes in to change things, that sucks. We hate it, and we're not gonna buy in. We're just gonna do what we have to do because we're getting paid to do it. On the other hand, the other guy, the economist, on the other
Yeah,
hand.
you're learning.
The person who has the progress mindset will convince, not, and I don't, it's not about convincing, it's about inspiring, will inspire to do better because that's where we're going, which is basically the futures, right? We're looking for a better future or futures, not just different futures, right?
So
No,
true. You are
that
looking
doesn't
for a
say
different future that is better than the
that.
one you're in or that
Correct.
you could see.
Correct. Which will require change. Of course it will, but that's not the intent. The intent is not to change. The intent is to progress, to get better. And again, I think that's a mindset that if you have a culture where everything that we do is we do creatively, innovatively to make things better. That's different than we just do it different every time. And now people like me, I love doing things differently. I'll just change up because, but most people don't want to do that. They like to stay in their same routine and do things, however they've always done, which I think is okay. That's that traditionalist I think you were talking about. But those the entrepreneurs are the ones that are saying, we got to get way over there. Well, that's okay, but you better inspire me because you're not going to convince me. This really changes isn't logical, I don't think. you know, or maybe it may, okay, so maybe it is, change is logical, but progress is inspirational. Write that down. You might need that for a book or something.
Yeah. Let me write that down. I'll say Lugo Santiago.
You don't even know how to spell
But
that,
so
you
that
know.
was a good one. That was a good one. Okay, I agree. I agree. No, true. I think that what you're talking about is you're in a position and you want to change your position. So you want to figure out a way, right? That we would remember we're talking about the four P's of innovation. And so this is position innovation. So you want to move from where you are to some place that you know that it's going to be better. And today I was teaching a class on it was Six Sigma Yellow Belt, and we were talking about why quality. Well, that's one of the things that we were talking about. Why quality? And the reason why we do quality is because we understand that this is going to be better for society, better for the organization, better for you. So, but who defines quality, right? The customer in the end defines quality, internal or external. So all of us, internal or external, we decide what is the better place to be. And so then we figure out what are the critical things that we have to do to pivot from where we are to that new position that we want to be. And that right there is a process of innovation, or it could also be an improvement process. It depends how radical the change has to be so you can get to that point where you want to be, that position, the new position.
And different people will be at a different point in the organization to decide that, not to decide that, but at least accept it, understand it. So, you know, again, one of the things I think that we have to consider as leaders, Lugo, is where are they? Yeah, I've got all these ideas, you know, and there maybe there's a team of some sort, but where are the rest of us? Where are the rest of them? And I think if you see them as them, maybe that's a problem to begin with, but because again, they're the ones that are going to do it, not you. If you're doing it right, you're inspiring them to be willing to do it. Otherwise, you're just forcing them, and now you're just a manager. You're not a leader.
So a good point in there. You mentioned that the people are in different positions. People are going to be in different positions in the organization all the time. You'll never be going as a leader in an organization, and everybody's going to be on the same page. If that would happen, we would not have this whole industry in just focus on change management. These people have made millions and millions, I mean, over a lifetime. And so that is a diagnostic that people need to be, they need leaders specifically need to be able to understand where is the organization at? We do a before we go into process improvements and stuff like that. One of the things that I want to do is understand the organization's fit to change. Can the organization change? Because all of this stuff sounds great, but if the organization is not ready, if you have not done an assessment and figure out can the organization change, well, it's nothing's going to happen. Everything is going to be brutally executed, and sometimes you got to do that. You mentioned in there, sometimes you got to force people to change in a particular in a leadership way, in a leading way, let's put it that way, and in a leading way. So there's a lot of thought, you know, it's just not obviously brutally executed.
Sometimes that's tough love. We still got to do it.
You, yes.
Just follow me and trust me, I'll get you to it. And that happens a lot. I know I've been there and done that. We're running out of time, Lugo, but you know, that leads me to the thing, to the last point that the general discussed was family, because tough love really, I mean, the place where we practice that the most is family. I know I've shared this with you for years and years. All we can give our family is roots and wings. But sometimes that's tough, especially the wings. Because now, yeah, I know I've got this vision. I've gotten done the futures assessment and all that. Now we got to give them wings so that they can do it or not. And what happens if they fail? Well, when you have a family, you don't throw them out, you don't fire them, you just hug them. Let's talk about that next week.
I'm very interested about the hugging piece because
I didn't do that before.
got that cleared through HR?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's got to be a very good discussion. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening. We hope today's topic connected with you and help you reflect on the work leaders do to get out of a narrow focus on one future and into a broader range of plausible alternatives.
If you'd like to connect with us, find us at leadersandfutures.com.
And if you would like to learn more about leadership and future studies, we have several programs to help you at the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Until next time, be great.